This is my wife, Nicole, and this is actually, I believe, my third time at your church. When I was in college, at Pensacola Christian College, I would travel up here. My brother-in-law is Johnny Raines, that many of you know, and we would come up here, and on our way through, we'd spend Sunday morning worshiping with you all, and that was probably 15 years ago. I guess that's be nice to the college students that come through, because you never know when you may see them again. But it is a delight to be here. I spoke to Pastor Miles over a year ago about coming to this conference, and we have been looking forward to this time ever since that was confirmed. So we're excited to be here, and it's really a privilege for us. I noticed that one of the missionaries is said from Burkina Faso. How many of you have heard of Burkina Faso before this conference? Okay, I feel very unintelligent. I heard of it for the first time yesterday, and I was looking at actually a geography, or listening to a geography song, Burkina Faso, where is that? So that's exciting to actually meet a missionary from Burkina Faso then. I'd like to, if we have just a few minutes this morning, with whatever time we do have, to look at Hebrews chapter 11. So if you take your Bibles with me and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'd like to start off just why we have this time this morning. Sometimes you wonder, how does a missionary get to where he is? And there must, sometimes people think, well, there must be something unique or odd or special about a missionary just because they're going to a foreign field. They're leaving their home and they're going to a foreign field. And I want to share with you from Scripture that there may be some odd things about some of us, but really, there is nothing that is unique in the fact that God has called some to go different places, and that God could lay that same calling on anyone here. So I'd like us to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 and 33. Actually, I'll go a little further than that if we have time. It says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again." And then it transitions in the last part of this chapter, deals with those who through faith endured great trials and afflictions. But here, you know, I have in my office back home a book called From Jerusalem to Irian-Jaya. And maybe many of you have read that. But one of the things I love about that book is it tells the history of Christian missions from the Jerusalem church all the way to the modern missions movement in Papua New Guinea or Irian-Jaya. And there are a number of people that are found in that book that prior to reading it I had never heard of. And there are men and women like Ulphilas and Eliezer Wheelock and George Schmidt and George Grenfell, William Shepherd, Mildred Cable, Temple Gardner. And these are not the typical people we think of when we think of missionary heroes. But yet these men and women accomplished great things by faith. Yet also I noticed in this that there were a lot of failures and mistakes and blind spots that these men and women had. And so I identified with these people. As I read this book, I said, I'm kind of like that person. Or I can see myself doing something like that. I see a lot of the failures that they've had and say, I could see how I could have done that in a similar situation. And the encouragement to me was to think that if God could use people like that, then He can use someone like me. And He can use someone like you. Because I don't believe that any one of us is as aware of our own faults better than ourselves. You may know your spouse well, but your spouse knows his or her faults better than you think you do. And you may have a close friend, but your close friend knows their faults better than you may think they do. And we become keenly aware sometimes of our own sinfulness, and we say, Lord, this must somehow disqualify me because I have all these faults and failures in my life. You can't use someone like me. But I want to look at these verses here and consider that these people are found in the Hall of Faith. And if I were If God had tasked me with taking the Old Testament and writing a chapter filled with the great heroes of the faith, some of these people would never have made my list. And they may not have made your list, but they made God's list. And that's the encouraging thing, is to see that God looks over the failures of the men and women who live by faith. And He commends them here for their faith. I want to see, first of all, the Hall of Faith is filled with people like you and me. The first thing I notice is, the author of Hebrews is kind of like me as a preacher. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me? Pastor Miles, you ever done that? Where you say, I have so much more I want to say, but I just don't have time to say it. So this is good for a preacher to hear this. Because the author of Hebrews in Scripture says, I would have a lot more to say, but I just ran out of time. And that's encouraging to know as a preacher. But he says this, the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak. Hall of Faith is filled with people who were afraid, like Gideon and Barak. The most frequent emotional designation about Gideon in the Old Testament is that he was afraid. That he was afraid. It's interesting, when God finds Gideon, he is threshing wheat in a wine press. He's hiding from the invading Midianites. He's not taking an advancing army to meet the foes that are invading his land. He's hiding. He's hiding his grain. He's hiding everything he has. And the angel of the Lord says to him, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And you can imagine Gideon going, me? You've got to be kidding. I'm hiding from the invading armies. What do you mean, thou mighty man of valor? But God saw in Gideon something that Gideon didn't even see in himself. And the next thing we see about Gideon is God tells him to destroy the idols of his father in his hometown. And what does he do? The Bible says he waits till nighttime because he was afraid to destroy them. And then when God tells him to take this army and to go fight, remember he has the fleece episode? And one wasn't enough. Why do you think that was? Because he was afraid. He was a fearful man. And then the night before the invasion, God says, Gideon, if you are still afraid, why don't you and your servant go into the camp of the Midianites, and there you will hear something that will encourage your heart. And there he hears that one of the Midianites had a dream, and a loaf of bread rolls into the camp and destroys their army. And they say, this can be nothing but the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And Gideon strengthened to go into battle. You know, it is exciting to know that God uses fearful people. That God uses someone like a Gideon who over and over and over again we see fearfulness in his life. Then there's Barak. He's one of the lesser known figures in the book of Judges, and maybe that's a good reason. Deborah is the only female judge of Israel, and she tells Barak to take an army of 10,000 men from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun to fight against the heavily armed forces of Sisera with his 900 iron chariots. And Barak, the mighty man that he is, says, I will go if you go with me, Deborah. I just imagine, ladies, there's invading armies into America, and your husband says, you say, there's invading armies, and he says, well, come with me, and I'll go fight them. Or someone's coming into your house, and he says, will you come with me? And can you carry the baseball bat? You know, that's basically what happens here. And yet God commends him for his faith, because although he was faltering, and he was weak, and he was afraid, he did step out by faith, and God used him. And so that is an encouraging thing. If you look at your life and you say, I'm a fearful person, that God can use someone like you. When I was considering God's call to Africa, I'm a fearful person. And I said, Lord, taking a family of six to Africa, are you sure? At the time it was seven, now eight. And I said, Lord, are you sure about this? You know, I need to know this is what you want me to do. And I was almost paralyzed by fear in making this decision. And maybe God is leading you in an area of your life, maybe not into missions this way, but maybe somewhere else, and fear has gripped your life, and you're saying, God, I can't take that step forward. I just don't have what it takes. This verse says, step out by faith. God sees your failures. He will answer that with grace. and He will commend you for your faith in obedience. That's an encouragement if you're someone like me or someone like Gideon or Barak who notices fear often in their lives. God can use you in His service.